Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling all right. I feel like, you know, people are really... It's really become this trope of like, 2016. Just can this year end already? I actually did a little research if you want to, see my research. Did this year have more big name deaths than other years? So what do you think? Did 2016 have more big name deaths than 2015?
I would assume it's about average.
And this wasn't planned. I just happened to remember that I did this like late last night. And then I was going to go back to like 2010, but I think I fell asleep. Okay, so here are the 11 biggest deaths I found in 2015. It's possible I missed somebody, but I don't think so.
Okay.
All right, so here are the in no particular order. Here are the biggest deaths of 2015. Leonard Nimoy, Stuart Scott, James Horner, Frank Gifford, Roddy Piper, Bobby Christina Brown, that's Whitney's daughter, Wes Craven, Yogi Berra, Fred Thompson, Scott Weiland, and Robert Loggia. Okay?
Yeah.
2016, David Bowie, Glenn Frey, Harper Lee, Nancy Reagan, Prince, Muhammad Ali, Gene Wilder, Leonard Cohen, Zsa Zsa Gabor, George Michael, and Carrie Fisher. I mean, 2016 blows 2015 out of the water, no?
Sorry, I wasn't listening. I was arguing on Facebook with people about politics.
Oh my God, leave that in. You're such a dope. Have you ever won one of these Facebook politics arguments?
Nobody wins. That's not how it works.
I know. Don't even bother. Just to block those people.
All right. Okay, sorry. So tell me the deaths again. I'll listen now.
Well, then we have to start the whole thing again.
I thought you wanted to leave in that I wasn't listening. I was pulling Akiva.
Why do we even do this? Like, I don't mean this podcast. I mean, like, living. Why are we even alive?
Oh. What's the purpose? So you were saying how people are... You actually made a good point to me a couple of weeks ago. Like, everybody's whining, oh, 2016 so bad. Can we get to 2017 already? But you pointed out, like... In 2016, Obama was president. 2017, Trump's going to be president. So
yeah, although now I hear the 2016 Obama being president isn't even so great.
Yeah. So why don't we just jump right into football so we can get to TV?
Yeah, so you missed it, but 2016, way worse. I'd say, like, even Carrie Fisher would have been the biggest name to die in 20... Unless you're a sports guy. Yogi Berra may be more famous. Probably not. But not even close. Like, Prince, obviously bigger. Muhammad Ali, bigger. David Bowie, probably bigger. Nancy Reagan? Nah, I don't know. But not even top five, but would have been number one in 2015. Anyway, that's been your more famous death count from the last 2 years. It's hard to be depressing.
Yeah, I'm looking at lists of notable deaths from 2015. And it's really, you're right. It's Leonard Nimoy is a big name.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally, the big names. The in memoriam at the Oscars must have been like 12 seconds.
Scott Weiland, I didn't even know he was dead. I saw him once in high school, actually. I saw him on the streets.
Yeah, but it was also like I didn't know he was alive, too, you know? It was like I assumed he died when all those guys died in, like, 2003. Like, Lane Staley, I'm sure he's been dead since then. I figured they, like, died the same year or something.
Yeah, this is a really weak list in 2015.
Yeah, probably the weakest ever. I think we have to go back now and rank, like, the whole century of deaths. Like, I bet 2014 is just is much better than 2015.
But this, I'm on Hollywood Reporter, so this doesn't include politics or, you know.
Right, yeah, that was my fear. But 2014, Robin Williams, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Joan Rivers already destroys 2015 just from the top three.
Yeah, they have Bo Biden on here. I'm not sure what Bo Biden, what his involvement is.
No disrespect to Bo Biden, although I maybe all this.
Oh, like. No, he was a great guy. I'm just
great
saying.
Great guy, yeah.
He's not a Hollywood face, you know.
Right, he might not be on the Hollywood Reporter's list.
No, he is. That's what I'm saying. That's
Mike Nichols, Oscar De La Renta, 2014. Lauren Bacall, James Garner, Casey Kasem. 24. Maya Angelou. Yeah, 2014. Mickey Rooney. Pretty 2014. Close to 2016. 2015. You could try again, buddy. Shirley Temple.
Well, here's another way to look at it. When we did the Greatest Living American podcast in March, right?
Yeah. How many did we lose? We lost a bunch.
We lost Muhammad Ali. We lost Elie Wiesel. We lost anybody else?
I didn't even include him because in straight fame, he's not.
Elie Wiesel was on our list.
Yeah, but he wasn't on the 11 I just named because in straight fame, he was not as famous as those people.
But my point is, if we had done this in 2015, is there anybody who would have died in 2015 who would have been on the list? And I don't think so.
No, I mean, Leonard Nimoy would never have been on our Greatest Living Americans list.
No chance.
No, if you had suggested him, I would have left.
Yeah.
None of those people.
Yeah, so I think by that standard, 2016 definitely the winner in terms of the significant.
Like Roddy Piper, if we did like top 64 wrestlers of all time, he might be on it.
Yeah.
Right, but Bowie didn't come close to our list. Harper Lee, I think, made our list, right? Or she was certainly considered. Prince didn't make it, but Prince, if there was another round, Prince is certainly there. If we went to 128, he's probably on there.
Okay. All right, let's go. Okay, so first let's talk about terrible week 17 in the NFL. I do like the fact that the games are split over 2 days, right?
No. By the way, if you know what they should try once that they've never tried? Do a 7-7. You know, do like a one Thursday, one Monday, and 7 Saturday, 7 Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, they should have divided it more.
How sweet would that have been? 7-7. That would have been like, you could have just done like, what if you did like 3 triple headers?
Look, that would have been great when I was in college or law school or single at some point. Yeah. It can't work now.
Well, what do you think? The league is revolving around your like having a kid every year schedule?
You don't have to have a kid every year. I mean, if you have a wife or you know, a partner of some sort who's not interested in football, it's a problem.
I mean, who cares? So just get divorced. We need 7 games on Saturday, 7 games on Sunday.
All right. So let's just jump into what actually happened. First of all, there were more upsets this week than just about any week ever. You know, like in Pick'em, people got ravaged. And the unfortunate consequence of all those upsets is it actually sort of settled things much more than we were expecting. We thought we'd have much more drama heading into week 17.
Yeah.
But the AFC playoffs are set. And the NFC, all that's not set is, you know, Detroit, Green Bay, and Washington will take 2 of 3 spots. I think the biggest headline, though, is the injuries in the AFC to Carr and Mariota that make the AFC playoffs completely unwatchable now.
Right, and Tannehill, right? Although that's not this week's injury.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Patriots have the easiest path. I mean, you look at the 6 teams in the playoffs in the AFC, it's Kansas City, who nobody trusts Alex Smith and Andy Reid to go into New England and win, right? There's just no chance of that. Oakland without Carr is essentially a write-off at this point. Miami has been a mediocre team all year, and that's even assuming Tannehill comes back, which I don't know yet if there's any news that he might. Houston is a bottom 5 team in the league. They're absolute garbage. The only team that's any kind of remote threat is Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's defense stinks. So to use an Akiva expression, I would say that the AFC playoffs outside the Patriots are literal garbage.
Yeah, I mean, here's the question. What if, like, the Raiders are all system and Matt McGloin is decent?
I mean, in what universe are we thinking that Matt McGloin is going to be good enough? Because the Raiders are a team, they're dependent on their offense, right? They're dependent on Carr throwing for 300-plus yards a game. Their defense has a couple, you know, Khalil Mack, they have a couple of good players, obviously, but they're not elite. Their offensive line is really good. So, you know, maybe they can protect McGloin and they, I don't know.
A really good offensive line can make, you know, a Mark Sanchez win playoff games.
Okay, but are you saying Matt McGloin is going to... Matt McGloin is going to go to the Super Bowl?
No, but I mean, I'm just, you know, you're right. The AFC is, not only is it, it's like bad and boring right now because we have no relevant games on Sunday, which, and this is the least intrigue of any week 17 that we've basically ever had. It's a disaster. And so it is very 2016-ish if you subscribe to that philosophy where there's just nothing going on. I'm like falling asleep here. Thing about these playoff games, but we were right all along because we said that the atrocity that's going to happen for that ESPN game Saturday afternoon, it's going to be the worst game anyone's ever seen in a playoff spot. And what we're looking at, right, is Matt McGloin versus you know, Tom Savage or Brock Osweiler, and it's going to be the worst game of all time.
The good part of this is, frankly, that the early Saturday game is not a game you have to watch, so you can celebrate, you know, the last night of Hanukkah with your family.
Everyone's going to be so sick of their family by night 8 of Hanukkah. I don't think that's really what anyone's looking to do.
All right, so let's talk about the NFC for a second, where things are a little more interesting. We have, if Washington loses, then the Green Bay-Detroit game becomes meaningless. It's just for seeding, like the Green Bay-Minnesota game last year was. But assuming Washington can hold serve and beat the Giants, we're going to have a great play-in game where the winner of the Packers-Lions game gets the 4 seed and the loser goes home. And obviously, we need Green Bay to win this game because you can't have another garbage team in the playoffs. Again, we talked about 5 garbage teams in the playoffs in the AFC. Well, really 4, because Kansas City's a good team. In the NFC, we already have the Giants, who are a garbage team. And if we have Detroit, that's going to be 2 garbage teams. So we can't have that. I think that the top 4, if it's Dallas, Atlanta, Seattle, and Green Bay, that's actually interesting.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some week two. The problem is week 2 in the AFC playoffs has no chance of being good. But week 2 in the NFC playoffs, you're right. If chips fall properly, could actually be legitimate, you know, classic playoff style, like 2 good games.
Yeah. And Atlanta, meanwhile, and I know this is now, I think, like, Bill Simmons already said this on his podcast, and so we're losing sort of the originality. But all of a sudden, if they end up in a 2 seed, I think that we might have to rethink Brady as MVP, and maybe there is an argument for Matt Ryan. Because I'm looking, their last couple of weeks, Ryan has moved up and Brady has moved down, such that in the Chester quarterback rankings on the season, Brady's at 105.2, Ryan's at 104.2. So they're almost identical, whereas there was a massive gap just a couple of weeks ago. And Ryan's, of course, is over 15 games, not 11. So I think that if Atlanta gets the 2 seed, especially if the Patriots lose to Miami, which is unlikely, but, you know, could happen on Sunday. I think that Matt Ryan will be the MVP.
I have no problem with Matt Ryan as MVP.
Yeah, neither. I will have a problem if it's Zeke Elliott. If it's Brady or Ryan, I have no problem. If it's anybody else, I'll be annoyed.
Well, you'll be annoyed. If it's Rodgers, you'll be annoyed?
If it's Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
You know, he has 40 touchdowns now on the season.
Yeah.
But they're going to be 10-6 at best, and that's disappointing for this Packers team.
I know, but ultimately, like, without Rodgers, like, this, they're a legit Super Bowl contender. Without him, they're garbage.
Okay, but you could say, let's put it this way. He has been worse than Matt Ryan and Tom Brady this year. He has a worse record than both of them. Even with Brady playing four fewer games, Brady has more wins than Rodgers. So there's no way you can put Rodgers ahead of Brady and Ryan.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, so why don't we just run through the Week 17 games and then we can
sprint through them.
Yeah, some mediocre games this week. So, all right, so we'll do it in order from best game to worst game, as we are wont to do. There's a bunch of games that are completely irrelevant. There's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games that are completely irrelevant. Houston at Tennessee, completely irrelevant. By the way, you can now give your picks this week because of your utter and completely disastrous collapse in the Pick'em playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? What happened to you?
Well,
5-11.
5-11.
Worst in the entire league.
Well, I saw I was doing bad, so I just like flipped for the big upsets to try and come back the last few games.
Yeah. Well, that was silly because a third of the pot goes to the points winner, and you were in second place in points, and now you've plummeted. So.
Yeah, I guess that was dumb.
Yeah.
But listen, Mike Clark, worthy adversary, he took me down. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
He's 6'4". It wasn't a fair fight. He's much taller than me.
Yeah, so we have a Final Four. And by the way, we have the lower seeds who are actually better because, you know, they have more points. They just had bad schedule luck. They've had the good schedule luck in the playoffs. Of our four final teams, we have, based on their original seeding anyway, it is the aforementioned Mike Clark, who is the 10 seed. He's playing the number 14 seed, Jonathan Shapiro. And then number 9, Ryan Sower, the highest remaining seed, is facing the 15 seed, Emily Easterly. So Emily and Jonathan have more points, and if they have a tie, they will advance. So a 14 seed against a 15 seed in a championship. This is like March Madness. Real dreams come true with lots of crazy upsets.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, why are we talking about this? The whole season, I mean, should we even talk about football anymore?
No, let's just pick the games, then we'll go to TV. Okay, all right, so let's run through the Week 17 games quickly. Let's get the meaningless ones out of the way. Houston at Tennessee. I'm going to pick, well, who's starting for Tennessee? Who's their backup quarterback? I don't even know.
Matt Castle.
And it's Matt Castle gets Tom Savage or something. You know what? I'm going to pick Tennessee because Houston doesn't really have anything to play for anyway. So I'm going to say Tennessee's going to win this game. Matt Castle gets it.
Yeah. Tennessee. Houston stinks. I can't believe they're in the playoffs.
Yeah. They're like the 26th best team in the league. Yeah. Chicago at Minnesota. Ugh, I'll say Minnesota. We had a complete mutiny on our hands. I don't know what is going on with Mike Zimmer, everyone's beloved coach. And, you know, North Turner quit in the middle of the year. The players, including his favorite player ever, Terrence Newman, are quitting on him, you know, in week 16. I don't know how to explain all of that. But the Vikings will beat Chicago.
Who cares? The world is melting.
Are you going to make a pick? Or?
Yeah, I predict nuclear war in 2018.
All right, are you going to be annoying here? Come on. Just make your damn picks.
I mean, I don't care. Why are we talking about Minnesota and who are they playing?
Because we make our picks every week. That's what we do on this podcast.
I know, but it's like predicting preseason games in week 17.
Okay. So then should we not have picked games involving teams like, you know, the Rams all season?
No, because who cares if there's one or two duds amid 14 gems? Now it's...
Well, let's get through the six duds. Chicago at Minnesota, pick a winner.
Chicago.
Arizona at LA, pick a winner.
Arizona.
I'll agree. Jacksonville at Indy.
Indy.
I'll say I agree. Buffalo at the Jets.
Oh, boy. EJ Manuel versus... It's funny because this could be EJ Manuel versus Christian Hackenberg, which one day would get a 30 for 30 as like the worst QB matchup of all time. But the Jets are playing Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is insane because that probably means they're going to win this game. So the Jets.
Why? Because he only has like twice as many interceptions as anyone else in the league.
I mean, but Fitzpatrick's better than Hackenberg and Manuel.
Well, you might as well put Hackenberg out there. You might as well see what you have, right?
Yeah, but you're afraid he's going to die. Like, they have only backups on their offensive line. It's five backups. Like, they every week they're getting a quarterback knocked out. Like, Petty and Fitzpatrick keep flipping back and forth because they're dying.
Yeah. I'll say Buffalo will win, although the Jets will screw themselves and find a way to win, probably. Baltimore at Cincy. Baltimore, their defense looked terrible against Pittsburgh, but their offense looked really good. They would have been much better to be the final playoff team, you know, ahead of Miami, for example. But Miami pulled off that overtime win in Buffalo. I'll say Cincinnati will win this game. I've picked Cincinnati every single week this year. I've been wrong just about every week. I picked them to win the Super Bowl.
I still think they're good. They're definitely better than Houston.
All right, well, for sure. Although they lost that one on a 43-yard missed field goal.
Yeah.
Time expired.
I mean, they have no kicker. They lost like 8 games. Although, ironically, they won week one because the Jets kept missing kicks. But they also lost like a million games because of the bad kicking. Cincinnati. Yeah.
All right. Dallas at Philly. Meaningless game.
Oh, but
game.
What about Marvin Lewis? Does he get fired?
I mean, here's the thing. Every year they lose in the first round of the playoffs and they don't fire him. This year when, again, people thought they had Super Bowl potential, they fall apart and, you know, win 5 games. I don't know. I don't know the answer. There's so many bad coaches out there. I really don't know. What's your guess? Your prediction?
I think they have to fire him, yeah.
All right. Dallas at Philly.
By the way, I just want to call out another podcast that doesn't know we exist. I said a few weeks ago on this podcast that we were going to do a weekly, or maybe I said it to you off air, but a weekly... on Bloody Monday, on Black Monday, the day after the season ends, we're going to do a mini podcast for each coach that's fired. Unfortunately, there's already been 3 coaches fired, so there's not going to be as many mini episodes to do. But then part of my take said they're doing the exact same thing. Just know that we're not copying them. We said it weeks before they did.
Yeah, we did. That's true. All right, so what's your pick for Dallas at Philly?
Philly.
All right, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. They've looked pretty good at home. Obviously, they beat the Giants last week. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. This game matters, but, you know, will not... Well... It matters, I think, because technically if Pittsburgh loses and Houston wins, could they swap seeds?
No. Pittsburgh locked in. They're both locked in.
Okay. Well, either way, Pittsburgh's going to win. I thought this line was way too low.
Yeah, the lines are weird. The Giants-Redskins line was like 9 when it opened, which made no sense. It's the craziest line I've ever seen. 9-point favorites, the Redskins over the Giants.
All right. And then the other one, Seattle to San Francisco. Seattle needs to win for seeding, and obviously they're going to win by a million, right?
Yeah.
All right, KC at San Diego. Similar game. San Diego could have and should have won a couple of weeks ago, but the way things have gone the last couple of weeks, I'm going to say Kansas City.
I'm definitely picking the Chiefs to win this game, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Carolina at Tampa Bay. Tampa, technically speaking, has a chance. They need like a million things to happen, which aren't going to happen. I guess they'll win just because Carolina's completely folded it in.
Yeah, you know, someone emailed me this week and said I'm in like a massive, like tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars of anti-survivor pool. Who should I pick this week? Who would you pick? And like, who would you pick if, you know, of all these games and, you know, needing to pick a loser?
Yeah.
Like, I would, you know, cry. Like, it's insane.
All right, just make a pick. Let's finish these games so we can go to TV. Carolina, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
All right. Oakland at Denver. I'm going to pick Denver. I don't believe in Matt McGloin the way Akiva does. If Oakland wins and New England loses, Oakland could still get the one seed. If Oakland loses and Kansas City wins, then Kansas City gets the division, actually. So Oakland is going to lose and drop all the way to a wild card.
Okay, if you say so.
Well, what's your pick for Oakland at Denver?
Oakland. I'm picking Oakland.
All right, New Orleans at Atlanta.
New Orleans. I'm picking New Orleans.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Atlanta's not going to get the two seed and Matt Ryan is not going to get the MVP.
No. No MVP for Ryan. MVP goes to Rodgers.
I'm picking New Orleans to cover, but I think Atlanta will win. New England at Miami. I don't understand why this line is like 9.5, but I mean, this line is too high, isn't it?
Yeah, New England's going to win this game, though.
Yeah, agreed. Giants at Washington. Washington winning, they're in. Losing, they're out.
Winning, they're in.
Losing, they're out. Giants are locked into the 5 seed, so Washington has to win this game, correct?
Yeah, I think Washington wins.
All right, and then the game of the week, Green Bay at Detroit. The way that these two teams have been trending the last couple of weeks, you have to think Green Bay is going to win, but I was shocked to see the 3.5-point favorites in Detroit. That line really surprised me. I'm going to pick the Packers to win, but I would bet on Detroit just because this line seems crazy to me.
Okay, bet on whoever you want.
All right, okay, fine. So that's enough of that. We both hate football.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. No, but we'll be back for the playoffs. Like, I'm excited for the playoffs, but this regular season was like a partial birth abortion, and I really don't care about it.
Yeah, we will. We'll bring on some guests for the playoffs as we've done in the past. By the way, you did not guess your lines the last 2 weeks. You quit on that after I was beating you 13-0. But it's a big mistake because I think this week would have been your big win. I was disastrous guessing the lines this week. I was like 48 points off.
I should have this is my one. Did I not beat you once the whole year?
No, you did not. You were very close once or twice.
That's insane. But it's also, by the way, not to throw Bill and Sal under the bus, but you predict against them every single week. You do your against the line stuff, and you beat them. How often do you beat them?
Well, this year, I'm beating them so far 10-4-3. But in past years, Sal is the worst by far. But in past years, Bill has been better. But I've been much better than Bill and Sal overall the last couple of years, which is an indictment of them because they are much more prodigious gamblers than I am. And so they're just really, really bad at this.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's insane how much better you are.
But that's what I'm saying. Why are they so terrible at it?
Because, I don't know, they just don't have an aptitude for it, and they just do it as a comedy bit, and we are nerds who complain about it.
All right, Akiva, so last week we ranked the top 10 podcasts of the year. This week we're going to rank the top 10 TV shows of the year. We solicited listeners to submit their lists as well. We have a bunch of those, and I have accumulated them together. You have not sent me yours, though, yet. So do you want to start with yours, since that's the real drama here?
Do I want to start with mine? Yeah, I'll start with my... Should we go 10, 10, 10, or just do our whole list?
Sure, yeah, we can do 10, 10, 10. That's fine.
No, let's do our whole list. I think there's more... It gives more... Because with the podcast, we're, like, introducing people to podcasts. I feel like here it's more... It's better to give a more complete list.
All right. Should I try and guess how many of the same 10 that we have?
Yeah, let's do that, like we did last week. Let's also add, by the way...
I'm going to say two.
Okay. Can we add... One for sure. I don't... Oh, yeah, definitely two. I see a second one. And I didn't send you my list, and you may have sent me yours, but I didn't look at it. You have a Google Doc, I think, that you shared with me, but I didn't open it.
Okay.
I'm almost positive we're going to have two shows on the same list. We should add that we recorded the football thing to go first, but neither of us were paying attention. It was really bad, so we're burying it at the end of this podcast.
I was arguing politics, as one does.
Yeah, but not with me. You were arguing politics on a WhatsApp group.
In my fantasy football league WhatsApp group was debating politics, and I was doing that instead of listening to
you. Instead of listening. And usually it's the opposite, right? Last year, every podcast was me, like, half asleep. But it was unlistenable. I not only, like, we'll put it at the end, but I forbid you from listening to it. It's so bad. We're just not paying attention. You're asking who's going to win games, and I'm not looking anymore.
Just to spite you, I'm going to put it at the front now.
No, if you do, I'll actually quit the podcast. I'll legitimately quit the podcast. If you put it,
I like the start. Oh, I can get my my Tuesday nights back instead of.
Oh, please! You can quit this whenever you want, D-bag.
All right. Okay. By the way, speaking about TV, the TV that I've watched the most in the last week or two actually is Conan O'Brien.
What?
I'm not even sure how I got. So first of all, like most people, like you, I assume like most people.
I'm excited. You know what is this? We're recording this on December 27th, 28th. What is today? 28th. I'm excited for the worst take of 2016. Go right ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, like most people, like you, I assume, during the whole, you know, Leno-Conan fight, I was Team Conan, even though I didn't actually bother watching his show. Right. I'm sure you were the same. Yeah.
Well, I'll say that growing up, I was Conan all the way. I went to a Conan show once.
Okay.
I love Conan. I loved, I wouldn't watch the actual show part, but the first 20 minutes of his show were brilliant almost every night. Like, they, you know, all his, like, you know, his segments, like in the year 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We discussed this on the Top 100 shows of all time. Yeah, they were great. But now he's like toiling in irrelevancy on TBS.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to say. That's totally wrong. So the way it actually started is, so Conan's best thing, and he does his best in the business better than anybody else, is his remotes. When he goes to some store or some, you know, office or something, and he interacts with the people there, and he does that better than any other late show host probably in history. It's very, very good. Early Letterman, you know, like 82-84, Letterman was pretty good at that also, but Conan's been doing it for years. And so I started watching. Conan had gone to, like, he went to Armenia and I watched that whole episode, and he went to Korea and I watched that whole episode all on YouTube, and then I got sucked in, and I've literally watched, I mean, I have a chart so I can tell you, I've watched 282 Conan YouTube clips in the last week. And I have many more to go because...
Why have you watched 282? Wait, the old Conan show?
Oh, this is going from 1996 all the way through 2016. It's all three of his shows. All four of his shows, however many shows he's had. The recent ones are the best.
The best Conan clip of all time...
Is
without question, Norm MacDonald telling the moth story on the Conan show.
Yeah, stop saying Conan. It's
all right, shut up. Stop correcting me. You're like one of these, like... If a girl would ever talk to me, step one, if it was back in the day, step one, she ever talked to me. Step two, like, correct me on the name, I'm already out. Yeah. Except I wouldn't be out because, like, hey, there's a girl talking to me. Let me explain something to you.
Anyways, I'm just saying, go watch the Conan remotes online. They're very funny. And this reminds me, by the way, you never watched, you know, when we did our top 100 TV shows and top 100 movies of all time, we each gave each other assignments. I followed through on the assignments you gave me. You never followed through on
my assignments. You did not watch The Full Genius Season 1.
Yeah, but I watched like 2.5 episodes and it was
That's
really
nothing.
Unwatchable.
It's unwatchable. Yeah, it's like it's the greatest show ever made.
Okay, but I watched... But it's a whole genre. It's so insane to me. Like, if you had no interest in a genre like soap operas, and I said to you, all right, I'm going to make you watch South Korean soap opera.
That's like you saying, like, oh, I don't like Breaking Bad because I don't like cooking meth. I'm not interested in, like, the meth-making genre. Like, The Genius doesn't have a genre. It's just, like, one of the greatest television shows ever made.
It doesn't have a genre. It's not a game show. It's not a competition.
It's so much more. It's like a lifestyle. It's a philosophy. By the way, and I know you're... Someone made what I messed up on is someone made a like a great chart of all the faces because I know you didn't know who's who. Like, no, a lot of people don't in the first couple episodes. It's hard to tell who's who, especially if you're face blind like Uncle Kiwi over here. The chart will really help you. Anywhere, nobody knows what we're talking about except for the people that know what we're talking about and know that you're an idiot.
Yeah, okay, but the bottom line is you never watched, I think the movie I gave you was In the Loop, which you would have enjoyed, and you never watched, well, for sure you never watched the first season of The Jay Leno Show.
Well, I tried. No, I watched like one episode. It was like Keanu Reeves was like the fourth guest.
Okay, but you never watched...
Oh, yeah. I will watch Party Down in the new year. I could watch that. Yeah.
All right, well, and watch In the Loop.
But I'm not watching In the Loop because I have a no British rule and you didn't care about it.
What do you know? It's an American show.
No, In the Loop is a British show.
It was
based on... Do they speak with British accents?
The British actors do. The American actors don't.
What is it, like a mixed world that's like a crossover? Is it like the Flintstones meet the Jetsons?
It is some members of the Tony Blair government coming to Washington, D.C. to coordinate with the Bush government related to the war in Iraq.
Ah, Ivan. Okay.
So there are British characters and American characters. James Gandolfini is American, for example.
Oh, yeah.
The tall, awkward guy from Silicon Valley. What's his name?
Yeah.
And also in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, he's good. Anyways, all right, so let's get to our top 10 shows of the year.
Okay.
You want to start with your honorable mentions or... Oh, wait, I have one more take before we start. On the Seinfeld podcast last week, you and Rob were saying how one listener wrote in and said, like, he's with this girl and she's not interested in Seinfeld and is that a deal breaker? And you and Rob said, well, not only is that not a deal breaker, that's a deal maker. Like, you don't want to watch shows with your...
Don't want to have conversations. I'm not, like, being Tom Likas here. Like, it goes both ways. Like, I don't want anything in common. I don't want my wife coming in and being like, hey, can we be in a fantasy football league together next year? Because I don't want her to know that I'm in six fantasy football leagues.
Yeah. See, but so I'm going to disagree with you because, and I'll get to this when I get to my list, but one of the things that makes married life, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here, not as good, let's say, as single life, is when you're single and you have room, you know, I had roommates basically all the way until I got married. Mm-hmm. And my roommates and I had more interests in common than my wife and I.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, now there's one significant interest that I had in common with my wife and not my roommates, which is why I'm married to my wife, obviously.
So I'm a smong podcast. Anyway, yeah.
I never had sex with any of my roommates, is what I'm saying. Nor did I attempt to. But, But anyway.
2016, you can have sex with all your roommates. Who cares? Yeah, keep going.
I could. I just chose not to.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's fun and enjoyable to share things together. You know, all the shows I'd watch, I'd watch sports together with my roommates. I'd watch shows with my roommates. We would enjoy those things together. Yeah. And now, for the most part, I do those things independent of my wife.
Sure.
And if we both are doing our own thing, that's fine. Like, if we're both in two different rooms. But now that we're married and I mean, now that we have all these kids and stuff, it's like, if we're doing two different things, like, who's watching the kids? So my point is, I enjoy watching.
I mean, you also, I like, in the background, I always hear you guys fighting over the TV, which is weird. I don't know if you have do you not have a TV in the bedroom?
No, of course not.
What? How can you not have a TV in the bedroom? You need like two TVs in the bedroom.
I'm sure you've seen like the research about TVs in the bedroom.
Yeah, but I mean, who cares about the research? Like, don't come at me with your facts. Like, everyone should have two televisions in the bedroom.
Anyway, but my point is I enjoy watching a show with my wife, and there's a couple of shows on my list this year that are higher than they would have been otherwise, or one in particular, specifically because of the fact that me and my wife just watched it together, and I missed watching a show with her together. And I will say that in addition to Conan, the other thing I started watching this past week or two is I finally started watching The Americans with my wife. We're going to watch it together. We're four episodes in season one.
I may have told this story, but I watched, and I never watched TV with my wife. My wife and I watched The Americans, and then she caught me watching the premiere of season two because after about 6 months, we hadn't watched any of season two, and she now is not only gave up on watching with me, but she won't watch it altogether, and she was super mad. Even though I said I would happily rewatch, it was just episode one. and I waited 6 months. Same thing with Mad Men. We died at the very beginning of season 2 of Mad Men. The Wire, you know, we same thing. So we have tried. We've never made it through. And we have very different tastes. She likes the middle. She likes Big Bang Theory. She liked 2.5 Men when it was on. She likes Suits, and she likes Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
I've never watched an episode of any of that nonsense.
Yeah. A lot of the shows that I watched, my second run was of my wife's first run, so that was true for, like, The Wire, for example. We watched Mad Men together. As I said, like on the TV show rankings earlier this year, part of the enjoyment of these shows is participating in the social aspect. You know, like obviously Game of Thrones, I read articles about it. I listen to podcasts about it. I talk to my friends about it online. Mm-hmm. So to have a person you're actually sitting there watching with, I think is, you know, like one of the neighborhoods we're considering moving to, my friend who lives there and is recruiting me, he keeps pointing out the fact that they have like a Game of Thrones watch party every Sunday night. To me, that's like, that's fun. That's like an appeal. So the fact that I can have a show to watch with my wife is a positive.
Yeah, that's good. Where is this Nerdville USA that you speak of?
That's White Plains.
Okay.
No, but it annoys me that my
sounds
wife
like Barry
doesn't
White Plains, if you ask me.
watch party. Yeah.
No, but it really annoys me that my wife doesn't watch Seinfeld, for example, because I will watch Seinfeld.
It doesn't annoy me that she doesn't watch it. It annoys me that, like, she's dumb.
It annoys me that she doesn't,
like it.
It annoys me that she doesn't pick up on my references also. I make constant references, and my friends get them and appreciate them, and I make them to her, and she just sort of stares at me, like, blindly.
But she would do that anyway.
Probably.
You get, like, a lot of eye rolls and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I make Game of Thrones references, and she gets those, and, yeah, I still get eye rolls, and so... All right.
You're cracking yourself up here.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So let's get to Akiva's honorable mentions.
Okay. I don't have a lot of honorable mentions. Well, the biggest controversy to me is OJ Made in America, because let me set the record straight right now. It's a movie. It's not a TV show. It appeared on TV, and almost everyone who's seen it, 99% of the people who've seen it, saw it on TV. But it debuted in a movie theater. It is a movie. It was aired all in one clump in a movie theater, and it's going to win.
Clump? No, it wasn't. It was aired like over several different times.
You could go and watch it all in one thing for like a week in Manhattan.
That's also true about every Netflix show.
No.
What do you know?
Every Netflix show airs all 10 episodes in one sitting?
Yeah.
That's incorrect. Yeah,
Netflix dumps all their shows at one time. They don't do it week to week.
No.
It's 10 in a row.
Okay. You're very slow. I'm going to speak slowly.
Akiva, if
you
turn on
go
Netflix,
to a movie Akiva. Theater okay. in Manhattan, okay. are you familiar many, with this area of New York City?
How many people did that? How many people did that?
Even if it's one, it is considered a movie.
No, hold on. There are movie theaters that project TV shows that also.
What? No, there aren't.
Of course there are.
Every week there's movie, like, you could just go watch, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia every single week if you want in a movie theater.
Not that show. It has to be a show with a bigger impact. But, like, for example, Game of Thrones, they had.
By the way, Superfan Robbie thinks there is no show with a bigger impact than It's Always Sunny. So that's a hate crime against them.
Okay, if you turn on Netflix, which is was formed initially for movies and is predominantly seen as a movie thing until they started making original content.
I would say Netflix is almost exclusively seen as a TV thing right now. They have like 20 movies and they all suck, but keep going.
If I play episode one of a show on Netflix, the day it premieres, and I don't touch my computer or my app, upon the conclusion of that, it will play episode
two. Your computer will be asleep within it. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, I understand that goes in succession. However, OJ Made in America is going to win the Oscar for Best Documentary, and therefore it is a movie and not a television show, and it's not on my list.
Okay, that's fine. I have it on my movie list as well.
Have it on your TV list and your movie list?
No, I said I have it on my movie list as well. I said a couple people have it on their TV list.
All right, and it can't be, when we ask for movie lists in a month, that you better not have it on both. I'm going to check.
Why? Maybe they
not you, but them. The you know the listeners. Some other honorable mentions: Survivor 33, really good season, great finale. If I told you how it ended, you literally wouldn't believe me. You'd think it was scripted. It was really great. The Challenge had maybe its best final episode ever. Also, Johnny Bananas pulling a fast one. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia had a better season, in my opinion, than its last five seasons, but still not nearly as good as it once was. The Amazon show with the Arizona Cardinals, All or Nothing, 10 times better than Hard Knocks. Not a lot of people saw it. Great show. really well edited. They just had much better access. They had access to like the coach's box and the coach's wives, and you're watching everyone like during important playoff games. Plus, they had that classic Cardinals Packers game that, you know, had a Hail Mary in to end the playoff game, and then a major the huge Larry Fitzgerald play in overtime. It was just so cool. Those are my honorable mentions. Then my top 10. Number 10, I have Broad City.
Okay.
Did you watch Broad City this year?
So we have
okay.
More, yeah.
Okay.
Number four on my list.
A rare network sitcom for the Keefster. Number nine, The Good Place.
Okay.
By the makers of Parks and Recreation and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I quit it after a few episodes.
It got worse after a few episodes, and then it got much better by the end.
Okay.
I think it's worth a second look.
Parks and Recreation, its first season was really weak and got much better.
Really weak.
Made by the same people.
Sure. So maybe. And yeah, it takes time to find their voice. I think it's going to be really good. All right, number eight is the HBO show The Night Of. Did you watch that?
No, I did not.
Okay, good show. I felt the beginning was stronger than the end. Could have made the top five, and it, you know, maybe never had that one seminal moment. Number six, the new Eastbound and Down Vice Principals, another show that started slow, but by the end I really like, and I'm looking forward to season two, which I think is it. I think they're just making two seasons of it. I think they already filmed it, and it'll just... The problem with HBO is sometimes like they air these shows, and then it takes forever to like find a slot, because they only air shows really Sunday nights, for the most part.
Yeah. Are we allowed to discuss these shows, or are you just going through your list?
No, of course you can. If you don't like Vice Principals, let's talk about it.
Well, okay, so hold on. So The Night Of... So you've called me an HBO completist before, and it's funny because there's
but you're
a bunch
not.
Of
you don't watch Westworld, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of shows that are...
I mean, Westworld is HBO's biggest show other than Game of Thrones this year. If you didn't watch it, you're not a completist.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll discuss it when we get to it. I never
Why are we getting to Westworld if we get to it, if I didn't watch it?
Oh, you didn't watch it either?
No, I didn't watch it.
Well, we'll get to it because it's on our listeners list.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, so True Detective I also was out on. So here's the thing with The Night Of. The idea, especially it came on like right after the election, the idea of watching a show about like a rape and a murder was too dark and sad for me, honestly. I understand it's a good show. I'm sure I would probably like it, right? I mean, John Turturro is one of my favorite actors. I couldn't handle the subject matter.
You couldn't handle his feet. There's a lot of feet stuff in there.
Yeah, I heard about that. Vice Principals is good show, very funny, like a lot of these HBO half-hour comedy shows. My issue with it is, and it's not in my top 10, it would be on my honorable mentions, I guess, maybe, is, you know, I'll definitely watch every episode of it, obviously, is it's just too unrealistic. Like, they're too extreme in what they do to her.
Yeah.
And there's no consequences for anything they do to her. It's, like, too dark too quickly.
Right, I mean,
dark
I think is there fine. Will be consequences because, you know, season two leaves it sort
yeah,
of up in the air.
But it's like Always Sunny is absurd. Like, Vice Principals is not an absurdist show, but it does things like that.
I think anything with Danny McBride, who is like one of the greats of the game right now, it's acknowledged it's going to be absurd.
All right, Akiva. So Vice Principals is your number six? Is that
yeah,
right?
I skipped my number seven. My number seven is Search Party. My number six is Vice Principals. Search Party, have you ever even heard of it?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a TBS show. I don't think I've ever watched like a TBS show before. Really well done. I'm not sure. I guess they left it open-ended enough to do a season two. It's with Alia Shawkat, who I think is from Arrested Development. She's is that her name on Arrested Development?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's also a lookalike on Broad City this season.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Original. Is it the best show I've ever seen? No. But it's a really interesting
show. Is it the seventh best show you've seen in 2016?
Yes, it is the seventh best show I saw in 2016. So let me add, before I get into my top five, Vice Principals we said is six, that my top seven shows from 2015 combined produced zero episodes in 2016. So really, it's a rebuilding year for my top 10 TV list.
Okay.
It's like, I'd say the Jets, except the Jets aren't rebuilding. They're just like knocking down and not building up again. The Tennessee Titans had a rebuilding year. I don't know who had a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
So my top seven shows from last year, The Leftovers, Master of None, Nathan Fear, The Genius, The Jinx, Making a Murderer, and Review, none of them had a single episode. Review is coming back with its final and third and final season, as is The Leftovers. Master of None is coming back with season two. Nathan Fear is coming back with season, I think it's four. The Genius is on indefinite hiatus. The Jinx was a one-time thing, and Making a Murderer is a one-time thing. Maybe they'll do a sequel at some point. So I think four of those shows will be back, and all of them early-ish in 2017. But so the Review was my number one in 2014 and 2015. So spots were wide open for 2016 for my top five. A show that was number nine, one of two shows that actually made it, because number 10, Louis, also did no shows this year and possibly ever. So number nine last year bumped all the way up to number five, and that's Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I know you have thoughts on that, so maybe we'll save it for your list. Obviously, that's a match on your list. Number four is a show that I've seen a lot of people say the same thing. Is it the best show I've ever seen? No, but for whatever reason, I just really have like a great affinity for it. And that is Love with Paul Rust and Gillian Jacobs.
Okay.
I know a lot of people wouldn't say like, hey, that's one of the best shows I've ever seen. But I, you know, I ranked it like decently on my top 100 of all time list after one season. I think in like the 50s or 60s. You didn't like it. And maybe I had even...
I hadn't seen it. I actually tried to get my wife to watch it. When we finished the Netflix show that we just finished season one of, I tried to get her interested in that.
What'd you just finish?
Well, I'll get to that on my list. But instead, we decided to watch Start the Americans.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll get to Love eventually.
But I love Paul Rust. I love Gillian Jacobs. And I'm excited it's coming back for season two. Also, Mike Spoon, I didn't even know who he was because I didn't start listening to Doughboys till right after it. But one of the Doughboys is one of the main people in it.
Yeah.
Mike Spoonman Mitchell. Number three is a show that I know will be in your top 10, and that's High Maintenance. It's a little bit of a Lifetime Achievement Award because only did six 30-minute episodes this season, but really great, groundbreaking show, and you also got me to go back and watch the first 20 or so episodes, which are really fantastic. I don't know if the HBO show is any better than the web show, but the web show is so good that's not really an insult.
Yeah, agreed.
Number two, a show that I know is not on your list, and that's the Chris Gethard show. It's a talk show, but there's really like a major theme every week. I think he did 10 episodes on the Fuse Network this year, but they're all on YouTube. I watch them all on YouTube. And some of them, the one where they put something in a box, and they have the great duo of Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas on with him. And like the whole crowd and listeners call in, and like they keep guessing what's in the box. Until eventually they, you know, someone guesses close enough and they figure it out. It's really one of the best television episodes of the whole year. You know, they did like a wrestling match that was crazy.
How many times does somebody do the Brad Pitt "What's in the Box" line?
What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
I don't think a lot. They literally, you know, for years they have a door in the studio that they called the Diddy door. That like the only key, he mailed the key to P. Diddy like years ago, and P. Diddy just walks through the door after like years of them talking about it in the middle of an episode, and then they just do like a P. Diddy episode, and is like this tiny sort of like studio. That was a pretty crazy episode. So they really did every single episode like is really worthwhile. I can't recommend highly enough checking them out, and you'll really like it. And Chris Gethard's very likable. So that's my number two.
And where can one watch this?
Chris Gethard Show YouTube. I think every full episode is up there.
Okay. All right.
Start with What's in the Box, and you'll watch that whole thing. And it's really there's no way you'll turn it off before the end. And number one, for sure this year, was Horace and Pete, a show that I didn't watch right away, and then... I sat down to like try the first episode and I binged all 10 right away. So great. So awesome that Louis just dropped them, you know, out of nowhere. Nobody even knew it existed. And
I am completely shocked. I had already entered your number one show in when I heard the first nine because I thought it was so for granted what it was. So this is a huge upset. You don't have the People vs. O.J. Simpson on your list?
No, because I didn't see every episode, so I didn't include it. Missed a few episodes and I'm a purist. If I missed any episodes, I don't put it on my list at all.
But I'm saying, but you weren't motivated to go see them.
No, because I knew what happened, so it wasn't a big deal to me if I missed an episode or two. So I missed a couple of the middle episodes. I really liked the show, but I also, some of the middle episodes got, like, a little bit of the same to me.
Wow, big upset here, I think.
Yeah, okay, that's fair that you guessed that. I did like the show, but did not make my list.
I took that for granted as one of our matches, so that's funny. Wrong. Yeah.
All right, so let's hear your list now, and let's hear some of the listener list after that.
Okay, so I will start with... Well, some of the shows that I didn't rank but were ranked by our listeners, I guess we can discuss at that point. So I'll start with the show that my number 11 show just missed the cut Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Obviously, it's very good, very entertaining. I think that Samantha Bee's show doesn't get enough credit because I think it's pretty similar. And I'm part of the problem because I watch John Oliver every week automatically and I don't really watch Samantha Bee that much, although I've seen some of her stuff on YouTube.
I'm Samantha Bee's a little further to the left than John Oliver, right?
Well, I don't look again. I've only seen clips of Samantha Bee's show.
Oh, you've never watched it? Okay.
So, yeah, I haven't watched a full episode. So Last Week Tonight, I'll just say this about it: it got a little bit too much credit. I think the fact that it's on once a week versus like The Daily Show.
Credit? What do you mean? Yeah, it really swung the election.
No, everybody was melting over it. Everybody was going nuts about it all summer long. Oh, it's the best show ever. Da, da, da. Okay, it didn't have an effect on the election. But you can say that about everything, except for the Tony. What's her name? Show the Tammy. Tell me, what's her name?
Tommy Lahren.
Yeah, I guess that had some effect on the election.
But by the way, that's the only time I've seen The Daily Show in the last 2 years.
Is Oh, and she went on it?
Yeah, I watched when that whole thing.
Yeah, I did too, and it was sort of eh.
No, I didn't get anything. I mean, maybe I got stuff out of it, but it was a mess, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, anyways, so number 10 on my list is a show that nobody else, none of our listeners had on their lists. And that's true about a few of the shows on my list.
By the way, what a baller move if somebody has that as their number one show of the year, the Tommy Lahren show.
I thought you were about to predict my show, Baller, which is a good guess. But number 10 is Billions, the Paul Giamatti show.
I feel like any show on Netflix starts, and any show on Showtime starts as a B+.
Is that a compliment or an insult? That's a compliment, right?
No, it's an insult. I feel like it starts, so it can only hit a B+.
Okay, well, B+ makes it the 10th best show of the year. I thought it was really good. Did you see it, or?
No, I'm just hating from afar.
All right. Paul Giamatti, anything he does is good. Malin Ackerman is almost always good. She's the wife of Damian Lewis, who was the main guy for the first couple seasons of Homeland. I have no idea what happened after that because I stopped watching that show, but if he's still alive in Homeland, then that's absolutely absurd. Billions, if you haven't seen it, it's a very entertaining show. A little bit pulpy. Are you going to see it, Akiva? Or
just... No.
All right. Okay. Number 9 on my list is Archer. Archer keeps bringing the heat year after year. Are you an Archer guy?
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. I'm not, there's only so much time in the day. I'm a busy guy.
Yeah. Archer's a great show. I don't know anybody who has seen an episode of Archer and doesn't like it. I'll put it that way. And they totally changed everything they did. They moved to another city. They took new jobs and, you know, bringing the heat. Archer, always entertaining. Number 8 on my list, a show that had one season on HBO and got canceled, and that's Vinyl.
Yeah, a show that's missed by nobody except for you.
I know, that's why. I'll just say this, my top 10 list for the year is not as, it's not as set in stone as like my top 10 shows all time, for example. It's a little bit harder. These are just, you know, so I don't know exactly, you know, do I really like 8 more than 7, 7 more than 8, you know, a show that just missed the list. But I really liked Vinyl. First of all, I like period dramas. Everybody knows that. You know, I loved Boardwalk Empire, and this is a similar crowd. You have Martin Scorsese involved with the first episode. You have Terrence Winter, who obviously was the guy who created Boardwalk Empire as well. You have Bobby Cannavale, who was on Boardwalk Empire. I really liked Vinyl. It only had one season, so that's good in the sense that if you want to watch one season of a show and get out, you know, you're afraid of the serious commitment. But it's about it's New York City in the 70s, the music industry. I'm not sure why it was hated on. Like, how is it so different than Mad Men? It's a decade later, a different industry, but it's sort of a similar concept, isn't it? I guess you didn't watch it, so you don't know.
I don't know, but it seems like people were really lukewarm on it.
Yeah, people did not like Vinyl, but I did. Number 7, Silicon Valley. I like Veep. I like all those shows, but Silicon Valley is the funniest one. Silicon Valley is the funniest show on HBO.
Well, no. Well, now that Curb Your Enthusiasm is active again, you can't say that.
Well, when's the episode of Curb coming back?
I mean, in 2017.
Okay. Well, in 2016, Silicon Valley was the funniest show on HBO.
Okay. It just made you qualify. You know,
Sunday night, obviously, you would have Game of Thrones, Silicon Valley, and Veep episodes new every Sunday night. Obviously, you start with Game of Thrones. But then to me, you go to Silicon Valley next and then Veep third. Veep was a distant third. I like Veep, but I think it's a bit overrated, whereas Silicon Valley, very, very underrated. Number 6, another HBO show, Ballers. Akiva, the fact that you don't watch Ballers, considering the fact that you are claimed to be a football fan and you claim to be a The Rock fan, I don't understand how you don't watch Ballers.
I mean, I've never seen a movie with The Rock in it, I don't think.
Wait, so what do you? So you love Dwayne Johnson and you've never seen a single thing he's ever done?
My kids just went to see Moana, but I didn't go with them. Although he wasn't, it was subtitled. They didn't even see.
Yeah.
He's not really in that, I guess.
Him? Yeah. So what do you like about him?
I mean, I like his wrestling. That's like his main thing.
It hasn't been his main thing in 15 years.
What do you mean? He comes to WrestleMania every year.
Oh, he still does? He shows up?
No, he doesn't wrestle. He had a bogus match this year. Man, was that bogus. But, I mean, I like him. Got a lot of charisma. I like when he's like, anything that he's in, any video online, he's great.
But you don't watch any show or movie that he's in. Like,
correct. No shows or movies that he's in.
It boggles my mind that you claim to be a football fan and a Dwayne Johnson fan. You don't watch Ballers.
I don't claim. I've never once claimed to be. Here's the thing. I thought it was like a poor man's
version. You want him to run for president.
Oh, yeah. He would for sure be a great president. I want him. I just thought it was like a poor man's version of like Playmakers, the old ESPN show.
Nah, it's way better because of the fact that it's on HBO, and so it's not kissing up to the NFL, so it talks about the real things about drug use and, you know, domestic abuse, and it's much, much, much better.
I don't want to hear – I just want to watch football. I don't want to, like, know about drug use and that sort of thing. I want to, you know, separate business from pleasure.
All right. Well, this is pleasure. Ballers is a great show. It's also very funny. The Rock is just, he's such a winner. I'm all on Team The Rock.
Oh, I trust five, me. So am I, but, you know, that doesn't mean I have to.
You're on Team The Rock, never having seen a single thing he's done. All right. Sure. Number five is The Crown. The Crown, which I just, you know what The Crown is, right? The Netflix show?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't I don't know. It's what about Queen? If it's something about like Queen Elizabeth the 12th or something, I'm already out.
Yeah, so it's Queen Elizabeth. What they're going to do, I think I heard they're going to have six seasons. Each season is going to talk about a decade of her reign. So the first season is the 50s, obviously, her first decade.
I mean, that's like the worst elevator pitch I've ever heard. I'm already out forever on that.
I mean, it's dominating the Emmys. It's going to get, you know.
The Emmys? Who cares?
Yeah. I'm just saying. John,
The Wire never won a friggin' thing. You know, and
yeah. It's a disgrace. Two wrongs don't make a right. John Lithgow is going to win for Best Supporting Actor. The main woman in the show, whose name I'm forgetting, is going to be a strong contender for Best Actress in a Drama. It's period drama, which I really, really like. It's something that I don't know a lot about because, honestly, I don't know a much. Like, a lot of the reviews of the show have been raving about that aspect. Like, the fog that hit Britain in, like, 1952 sounds like a joke or a boring completely thing, but apparently it was, like, a huge, like, national scandal. So that's really good. My one pet peeve with the show is, again, John Lithgow is great as Winston Churchill, but the problem is, like, Winston Churchill was, like, 5'6" and fat, and John Lithgow is, like, 6'4".
Yeah, big problem for me, too. That's really why I'm not watching it, other than like the boring British stuff.
So Lithgow walks around with like a massive hunchback the whole time to try and obscure the fact that he's super tall. But anyways, really good show. I got to watch with my wife, which is enjoyable. So what's cool about the show, what they're going to do, which is a baller move, is they're completely dumping the entire cast after season two. Because like I saw these interviews. So Claire Foy was, they were asking like, oh, are you excited to be on such a like a great show and you're going to be on for 6 years? And she's like, no, they're dumping me after two seasons because when they get to the 70s and 80s and 90s, they're instead of putting makeup on her, they're just going to get a new actress. So anyway, The Crown is a really good show. Number four on my list, Broad City, I already said on your list. Number three on my list, BoJack Horseman. You're not a BoJack watcher either, are you?
I mean, I've seen a couple episodes and it's funny, but I don't know if I'd sit down and watch like all 30, but I do like it.
Yeah, this was the best season of just an incredible show. Obviously, the episode that everybody raves about the most is the underwater episode, which is one of the most interesting half hours of TV that you'll ever see. This show has more jokes per minute than any. The only show that gets close, I guess, is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt in terms of the number of jokes per minute. And back in its heyday, 30 Rock.
By the way, I started watching Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and I really didn't care for it.
It's almost too much. It's too jokey, almost, you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah, but BoJack Horseman is dark, but it's also funny. It just has so many throwaway lines, so many like background. Like, animation gives you so many more opportunities for great gags, obviously, than TV shows.
Totally.
Than
I'd like to animate this podcast, see if we could become funnier.
So BoJack Horseman was number one or number two on quite a few people's lists, actually, and I have number three, so respect there. The People vs. O.J. Simpson, number two. The People vs. O.J. Simpson is a grower, not a shower, because when that show first showed up, everybody's like, oh, it's going to be so pulpy and so silly, David Schwimmer, and, you know, they're going to make jokes about the Kardashians, and they did all that stuff. But then it got really serious and I think took a really sober turn. It was still entertaining in sort of the pulpy way, but it also, I think it made people think about the O.J. trial again a different way. Marsha Clark, for sure, people look at it a different way. Sarah Paulson was amazing in that show, and Sterling Brown was also pretty good. Cuba Gooding Jr. was eh. You did not like it enough to watch every episode.
I mean, I did. I just, for whatever reason, I missed a couple episodes, and I knew what happened, so I didn't feel the need to go back, and I'm a purist, so I couldn't put it on my list. You're too hung up on this.
All right. I thought for sure that was going to be your number one show of the year, so I'm very surprised.
Yeah, no, it was great. But I also, like, I'm going to have the OJ movies going to be very high up on my movies of the year, you know? It doesn't have to be OJ everything.
The OJ movie was not as good as the show.
I'm excited. That's crazy. I'm excited for OJ to come out of jail this year. That's really what I'm rooting for. Because all bets are off. He's like even more famous now than he was. Like, no one cared when he went back to jail. He has sort of like faded. Now it's going to be all OJ. OJ's going to get on Twitter. He's going to get, I don't know if they're going to verify him, but he's going to get on Twitter the first day. He's going to have a million followers. It's going to be insane. The OJ episode of Pardon My Take is going to be absolutely crazy.
You really, is this all happening or are you joking?
Oh, no, it's happening. Late 2017, OJ getting out of jail. Going to be a delight. It's going to be all OJ everything.
Well, you always say that anybody who beats and kills women is a delight, so at least you're consistent with your
God.
Take.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
Only you're allowed to say this about me. All right.
I don't call you. I would never say that you. I would never make you went too far. See, the reason why people say, like, Chester should tell less jokes and Akiva's funny is because I have, like, a much better idea of where the line is, like the humor line. And you have no idea.
Right. All right. Game of Thrones, obviously my number one show. Don't even need to discuss that, right?
No, you love Game of Thrones. You're an apologist for that show. Oh, here's my hot Game of Thrones take. No episodes in 2017. Or like very late. They're selling you the summer stuff. I'm not buying it. They're still filming it.
It is coming out in the summer, but they're gonna define summer as like September. Or
yeah, exactly. Yeah, September, yeah. October. I mean, they're still filming it, and usually it takes a lot longer.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. If I could put a show on more than one spot on my list, it would have been spots 1 through 10.
Right, so. Just to qualify, they're only doing 7 episodes, so it's a little bit less than their normal 10. So,
which is way worse, by the way. Breaking Bad started this thing. I don't like this idea of splitting up the last season into too many seasons.
I think it's like a union trick to get the actors less money or something.
Why are they doing more? Why are they ending the show ever? Keep the show going forever, honestly.
Yo, well, looking Walking Dead is like the biggest equivalent, because those are sort of like the two biggest, you know, shows on TV.
Degree of difficulty, I understand, to keep it at the caliber.
But like Walking Dead is literally garbage now. You need to have an end date.
Yeah, I
mean,
I understand.
Lost an end date, and Lost the first show to ever really like call it shot when it's ending, and obviously it did not stick the landing, according to most people.
Yeah.
You need to have an ending. But the problem is that the books never going to be written. This fat guy who's probably in bad health. Coming from another fat guy who's probably in bad health, me. Like, I just can't see him getting to that 7th book. I mean, God bless him if he does, but it's like, it takes him 6-7 years, and the book is probably, are we going to see this book in 2017? That we already know is 90% of what happens in, because we've seen the TV show?
Well, so here's my question. Let's say, God forbid, he were to die without publishing a book. Would he leave some kind of, like, will?
Nah, I feel like, I don't think anyone else is writing this book.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so let's talk about the listeners list now. So I accumulated everybody's list, including mine and yours and the listeners. Number one, even without my involvement, number one by far is Game of Thrones, of course. Number two, Westworld, a show neither one of us saw. Number one show of the year, according to a bunch of people, Nick Nickish, Brendan Fitzpatrick, others. So why did you not watch Westworld?
I heard too many mixed things. If everyone says the show's great, then I'm happy to watch it. But I a lot of people said it's incredible. It's the most important, best show of the year. And a lot of people said it's maddening. And also, season two for that show is not coming on for a year. So I've got a lot of time to catch up. And then, like, maybe I'll go and watch season one right before season two and then know what's going on. But I also was going to do that with Mr. Robot. And then people were down in season two Mr. Robot. So I've still never seen it.
Yeah. So it's interesting to me because Westworld came out and everybody was raving about it. And I wasn't watching, so I'm not into sci-fi, which I know is dumb because I'm not into fantasy and I love Game of Thrones. And so you shouldn't worry about the genre. A good show is a good show. I understand all that. But the point is, that's why I wasn't watching it at first. And then Twitter sort of went nuts like towards the end of the season and was complaining about it. And all of a sudden I felt vindicated in not watching it. But then all of a sudden season end lists come and it's on every single person's list, like right at the top. So I'm a bit confused. Like, was it not good? Why at the end? Like, did it get worse? Like, why are people still raving about it? So I don't know. At some point, I'll probably have to watch it. But like you, I'm not getting in just yet. I'll give it another season or two, see what people say. Number three on the cumulative list is The People vs. O.J. Simpson, already discussed. Everybody likes it except for Akiva, or everybody put it on their list, I should say. Number four, Black Mirror, another show. Multiple people had it in the top two. Jake Larson, I think, had it number one. Why don't you watch Black Mirror, Akiva?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, people say it's like scary. I don't know. It just never crossed my radar. I don't know much about it.
Akiva's scared of Black Mirror. Number five is Stranger Things. Similar concept.
You saw Stranger Things?
No, I don't know anything about Stranger Things or Black Mirror.
You don't know anything about Stranger Things?
I know, like, it's a TV show.
There's like a character named like 11 or 12 in it. I know that.
No.
It's a beautiful name for a boy or a girl. Especially girl or a boy.
It's I don't even know if it's prestige TV. It might be a level. You were going to say prestige. I don't know if it's...
Well, anyways, that's another show I don't watch.
I've had it with Prestige TV. Everything should be Prestige TV.
So are we assigning each other a show or no?
No, because we're not going to watch it, and it's useless. Like, what's Prestige TV? I'd say everything but Two Broke Girls is Prestige TV in my book.
I'm looking to get into a new show, and if listeners could give me a persuasive
I just gave you
to watch
Chris Gethard. You're going to like it. You don't have to, it'll take you a couple hours. You don't have to watch all 10.
I have another 473 Conan clips to watch. Then I have 51
episodes. Why are there 800? Is it like one guy's YouTube account? Why do you have 800 Conan clips?
No, what happens is, you know, you watch something in that. Well, okay, so there are like, you know, set lists on Conan, including a list called Remotes created by Conan himself, like by the Conan show. But then sometimes,
Episodes? Well, like, what does Remotes mean? Like when they would go to Chicago for a week every year?
Clips. No, Remotes are clips of, you know, of when they go to the streets of Chicago or whatever the case.
Okay.
May be.
All right.
No, the only full episodes I watched were the aforementioned ones I mentioned. The country ones, I watched the full episodes, and there's a Finland full episode I haven't seen yet that I will watch. But
yeah, that one I saw. That was a big thing for a while. I was on board then.
All right. Okay. So so number five on the cumulative Stranger Things. Number six on the list, Better Call Saul. This is Millennial Max's number one show of the year. I like Better Call Saul, but it's not near. It's so much worse than Breaking Bad. It's like multiple different shows at once. and it can't really figure out which show it wants to be yet. I also, honestly, I kind of forgot because it was on so early in the season. Like, I didn't forget. I remembered and intentionally didn't rank it, but I kind of forgot, like, what's going on. But, like, the whole, like, Michael McKean storyline with the brother, I find completely unwatchable. He's just – Michael McKean is so unlikable. And I understand, like, that's his shtick, but it annoys me.
Yeah.
Do you watch Better Call Saul?
Is it your shtick also, or is that just, like, something that came bad accidentally?
Yeah. Do you watch Better Call Saul?
No. I mean, yeah, I saw the season one. I haven't seen season two yet.
All right. BoJack Horseman, number 7, our mutual friend and big Mets fan, Ben, who has a very famous son. His son has been on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
You can't handle the truth.
He has BoJack Horseman as the number 2 show of the year, behind only People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Wait, he didn't even send in this list. You just got emailed it. That doesn't even count.
What do you know? He sent me his list.
Oh, you asked him for a list and he sent it to you?
Somebody forwarded me, one of our other listeners sent me his list, but his list was from, like, the summer, because he does it based on, like, television seasons.
Oh, okay. That's a Chester, like, insane move.
So I responded to him, and I said, well, can you update it for 2000? And that had BoJack Horseman number 1, by the way. It didn't have OJ on the list yet. So I responded and said, can you update this for 2016? And he hemmed and hawed. He didn't want to. He said, really, this has to be done by TV season, not by calendar year.
By the way, no one does that anymore. Like, he's last holdout. It's a wrong take. Yeah. We're helping him out.
You are correct. Yeah, top 10 lists come out at the end of the year. That's correct.
He's living in a 1997 world where, like, you know, the shows are debuting in September and they're doing 22 episodes with 12 reruns. Like, we're not in that world anymore.
Shows come and go whenever they want, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's BoJack Horseman, number 7. Tied with BoJack Horseman, number 7, is Horse and Pete, your favorite show of the year. Max, Little Max also really liked that one.
Okay.
Yeah, you've talked about Horse Pete. Number 9 on our list is Atlanta. We got to talk about Atlanta for a second. So, do you watch Atlanta?
I watched the first episode, and it's, like, on my to-do list. I'm a busy guy.
All right. I watched the whole season. I liked it. I think it's insanely overrated. And I know that by saying that, I'm going to expose myself as being not woke or being, like, a closet Trump supporter. Like, it's annoying to me that you can't say you don't like the show without sounding like you just don't get it. I think I do get it. And I just think it's a little bit overrated. Like, you know, it's very slow. Not much happened. And, like, people are saying, oh, it's just like Louis, but even better. Well, first of all, Louis has had top 10 seasons here and there. But Louis overall, you know, some parts aren't as great as other parts. And Atlanta just, it has potential. A couple of the episodes are really good. A couple of the episodes were, like, really, really slow and unwatchable. I appreciate the fact that it's opening me up to a new world I'm not so familiar with. And that's good. But, you know, it's not an elite show yet. So I think it's overrated. Number 10 is The Night Of, which a lot of people had on their list, but everybody had really low. Nobody thinks it's like an elite show, really. Number 11 is Mr. Robot, which neither you nor I have seen. Tied with Veep, Millennial Max's second favorite show of the year. And then we got a bunch of other random shows on our lists. I'm just trying to see any other notable picks here. Johnny DeSilvera had the most interesting list in that he's the only person who sent us a list who none of his shows are in the top 10 cumulatively. And not only that, but not a single show on Johnny DeSilvera's list appears on anybody else's list other than Survivor.
Wow.
So he's got 9 shows that nobody else has, and then the only overlap is Survivor.
What are they? Can you read them? I don't have our stuff in front of it.
Number 1 through 10. This Is Us, Timeless, Survivor, The Blacklist, Superstore, Hawaii 5-0, Life in Pieces, Designated Survivor, and The Odd Couple.
He's not a snob like us. He likes, like, you know, blue collar TV. People really like This Is Us. I saw a few episodes, and it's a good show.
Schmaltzy, sort of, right?
It's a little schmaltzy, but it's good.
No, Schmaltz is good, especially around the holidays. All right, so yeah, so those are our lists. Thank you for sending us the list in if you did. If you want me to watch a show that I'm not watching, tell me why I should watch it. Maybe I'll listen to you. Do we have anything else to say, Akiva?
Yeah, don't listen to the football thing that comes on after this. There's just nothing there.
It will have already come on just to spite you.
So. No, if you do that, I'm telling you, this is the finale of this. 2016, we'll see the end of this podcast, no joke.
We have had 98 episodes. Are you saying that we won't get to 100?
Oh, really? Oh, we got to do something big for our 100th episode.
All right, so next week, number 99, we will preview week 1 of the
play. Number 99, if you edit this the way I asked you to.
So episode 100 would be the divisional round of the playoffs.
Yes.
All right, maybe we'll do something special for that. But
we could skip one. We could do like 2 that week or something. Also, we are going to do mini episodes, but we'll call it like 99A, 99B next week.
An episode's an episode. All right, Akiva, that's enough. And
no, an episode's not an episode. If we do a mini-sode, that's like 99A, 99B, because otherwise our 100th episode's going to be talking about, hopefully, the Jets firing Todd Bowles on Monday. I can't. This, you know how people complain about. You know how people complain about how Thanksgiving. I mean, how like the Christmas stuff comes out. You know how people they complain like, oh, Christmas music in October, and you know Thanksgiving stuff in September, and the Christmas creep and everything is moving up earlier. Well, the firing coaches season is gotten out of control. We have three coaches fired already. Any coach that's gotten fired after week 17 is going to get fired Sunday night. Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter, they're going to break that stuff. We're going to be left with crumbs on Monday. Maybe one like super late random firing that we didn't see. Who would that be?
I don't know. I mean,
let's have at least a minute of coherent talk of football here before the 20 minutes of incoherent football
talk. I'm surprised that you think Marvin Lewis is such a done deal.
All right, so let's go through. Todd Bowles, fired, yay or nay?
After just two seasons?
Yeah.
I'm going to say nay.
Marvin Lewis, fired, yay or nay?
I'm going to say nay. It's the holiday season. I don't want to see people lose their jobs.
These are millionaires. Who cares? Okay, John Harbaugh is not getting fired, right?
No, there's no chance.
Mike Mularkey?
I guess not. He should be, but...
Yeah, he did a decent enough job. I mean, if you kept him for 1 year, he actually did a pretty decent job with the Titans. I think you do give him a second year. Chuck Pagano.
No, because they're insane.
I know, but they could do anything. Like, they almost have reason to fire him, and they're a bunch of insane people.
Yeah.
Or how about Mike McCoy?
I'm going to say yes.
I would fire McCoy. I think maybe if you're competing for dollars next year with the Rams in L.A., both those teams, you know, Bill and Sal were talking about the Rams going after Gruden, which I think is interesting. I mean, they're going to be bad. The thing is, if you're Gruden, why are you taking, first, and they're also dumb. They're talking about 4 years, 60. You could get Gruden for less than four for 60. I think you agree with that, too.
Yeah.
He's making six or seven at ESPN. You don't need to pay him 15 to get him
but
to.
But the work is so much more.
I know. It's yeah, but. If I'm Gruden, I don't know why. Like, I know Goff sucks. I don't know what I do there. I'm not sure I can take that job. They don't have a first-round pick this year. There's no quarterback. Like, what are you doing, trading for, like, Tannehill or Tyrod Taylor or somebody? Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Like, can you give up on Goff? I don't think they're giving up on Goff.
No, you can't give up on Goff yet.
Yeah, so, but he sucks. Like, they almost should give up on him.
Well, again, we'll have to wait and see. It's very bad.
Okay, and then the NFC firings. I mean, Peterson was in year one. You can't fire him. Is your coach getting fired? Is Zimmer getting fired?
There's no chance.
Okay, what about the Bears? John Fox gets year three?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a lot of talent, right? What's he supposed to do?
Yeah, and I think you can blame everything on Cutler there.
Okay. So in the NFC South, Dirk Cutter is fine.
Sean Payton's probably leaving, but it's not going
to
be a fire.
Yeah, I mean, so Payton could certainly go to one of the LA teams, in particular the Rams. That wouldn't be crazy. Listen, I'd love to have Sean Payton. He's better than, you know, 20 coaches in the league on his, you know, his worst day. He needs a good defensive coordinator, obviously. You know, ideally one that, you know, cuts the body in the head. I think.
How great would Sean Payton and Rex Ryan be? And Rob Ryan stays unemployed.
I mean, they already tried that. I mean, Rex is not like Rex should be a linebacker's coach. Like, Rex is overextended.
He can't even be a D coordinator anymore.
I was talking about this with Harold the other day. We're not sure that Rex gets offered a defensive coordinator job.
Yeah, and Bill Simmons keeps pimping, he'll be great on TV. I disagree. He'll be a loudmouth buffoon.
Harold said that too. I think it'll be entertaining. He won't be good, but I think he'll say insane things.
He'll be entertaining for like 2 weeks, and then it'll get boring.
Unless he's so crazy. I don't know.
Well, but if he gets too crazy, then like...
I mean, he's like says insane things. Like, when he talks about, like, he was the linebackers coach on the great Ravens team that won the 2001 Super Bowl. Yeah. And he talks about that like he was Ray Lewis on that team. Like, he says, like, he thinks, like, if you just heard him speak, you'd think he was at least the head coach, if not the best player on the team and the head coach. Like, he's a crazy person. Question is, like, could Rob even get, like, could he even be, like, the D coordinator at UConn, Rob? I mean,
without his brother,
like, could he get a college, like a decent college job right now?
No, for sure not.
Well, what about like could he be like the linebackers coach at like Ohio Bobcats?
Yeah, he could be the D coordinator at a place like that.
Oh, I don't think so. He's so bad. Like, he has no track record to make me think that. But how about this? I think Harold mentioned this too. Rex, if you're like a second tier D1 school, if you're like a Connecticut or like a Central Florida or somebody. Would you roll the dice on Rex, thinking like that the kids will love him and that maybe he recruits really good players? Do you think he could be a good college head coach, Rex Ryan? I think there's a chance he could be a really good college head coach.
Maybe. The thing is, being a college head coach is much less to do with X's and O's and more being the
totally. It's totally.
Losing with, you know, with boosters, with recruiting.
He's good at that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I would send my kid to play for Rex.
I think I could. I think he could be a good college coach. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's what he should
do. He wouldn't be elite. He wouldn't be winning national championships.
Well, that's the thing. No one's. There's about four coaches that have a chance to win the national championship every year.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, can you go 10-3? You know, can you be my Kirk Ferentz or Mark Richt or whatever? And
keep a job. I don't think he'd be that good, but I think he could get a mediocre team to mediocre bowls.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Like he's better than whoever UConn's had for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Mike Leach.
No, Mike Leach actually is Rex Ryan just on offense.
Yeah, except did you see what his offense did against the Gophers yesterday?
The Gophers, who wanted to not play in that game so badly that they came out in support of like all sexual harassment.
I would like to know how many people bet on Minnesota on the money line to win that
That's
game.
That's crazy, right? Yeah.
It's an insane win. It's an insane win.
Yeah. That's one of the strangest.
They're playing one of the best passing offenses in the country, and their two starting quarterbacks are two of the guys who were suspended for the assault or the rape or whatever it is
alleged.
That happened.
Yeah.
Alleged. Okay. So they're missing both of their starting quarterbacks, and yet they completely shut down one of the best passing offenses in the country.
Really. Very strange. I also think, we're doing for the pool of pools, by the way, we should have mentioned at the beginning, but, if you want to join the pool of pools, that's really heating up. We are doing college football bowl picks, and you just see how insane it is. Like, that's going to be the most... like out there pool December.
We cannot do spreads for those games. We have to do winners and losers.
Okay. I already picked spreads because everyone's going to pick the favorite and everyone's going to have the same 40 picks. So minus like three games.
I don't think that's true.
That's the reason why we leave you to like come up with the math stuff and let me do the...
Hold on. Every single person, by the way, has sided with me on the disagreements that we had about the pool of pools.
I switched the hockey stuff, but you were wrong about basketball.
Only like two people chipped in. Like, no, but also on like on how to do the monthly awards.
Oh,
I only heard it from like two people, but they agreed with me.
No, everyone else agreed with me. I didn't like send them to you. And we're doing it my way, so who cares?
No, we're not. No, no, no. That one I'm sticking my head in the sand. I'll quit the league over that.
Quit the league. I don't need you. Quit the league. I don't care. We're doing it my way. It's 30, 29, 28, 27. That's
stupid. Especially because some pools, as you said, everybody's going to be basically bunched together. You can't do it that way.
Who cares if people are bunched together in two pools?
What's the harm in trying it my way? What's the harm?
No, we're not switching it midway. You don't switch the rules of a pool. Do you redraft in your fantasy football league if you don't have a good team after 1 month?
No, of course not. But this is a brand new undertaking where, see, I'm not a dictator like you. I believe in collaboration and hearing what people say and improving it over the time.
I asked for your opinion, and you're the hand, and, I could have you killed at any point if you don't behave yourself.
No, you're just a figurehead at the Kiss King.
Okay, fine, but no. You're not even in the league anymore because I'm not doing it your way.
No, we are doing it that way for sure.
You can't quit the league. I'm kicking you out of the league.
100% we are doing it that way, okay? The winner each month will get 100 points, and everybody else gets – it's graded on a curve based on how many points they get. All right?
No.
Yes.
There's no reason to do that. Who cares?
Okay. It'll be – okay, we'll have a vote, okay? I will draft the email. You will okay the email. We'll send it to the people in the group once we confirm who's in the group, and we'll have a vote. How about that?
No. This is not a democracy.
So does, you admit that does, you admit
does
that everybody disagrees.
Does he have votes? Does Putin get votes?
But this is what's hypocritical about you because you said that my way was better and was more equitable, but you said it would confuse people and people wouldn't like it for that reason. So I'm saying, all right, so then let's put it up to the people. And I say, no, we can't do that either.
Yeah, because I know what the people want more than they do.
But well, how about we let them?
I used to be in favor of democracy. Now that I've been thinking about it for the last few minutes, I'm actually pro dictatorship. Because best what you need for your people.
I'm not saying some ridiculous electoral college. Just have a simple majority vote. Simple majority vote.
Right? Fine, but there's 100 people and I get 101 votes.
You're so annoying. Can you explain to me what your opposition is? Your opposition was you thought people wouldn't like it.
It's too complicated. Mine is more simple.
Okay, so let's ask the people who are in the pool. This is a complicated pool for people who care about it. I don't think
it's complicated. Fine, but you can't see the email or the responses afterwards.
You just
have to rely on my word that I sent it to everybody.
No, because you're going
to
lie.
Man, I got to get some lessons from these dictators. Well, how would Hugo Chavez have handled this?
You certainly were not shy, but you're dictating. You wake up in the morning. What's the line? The Ceausescu, Seinfeld?
No.
Anyways, all right. This is done. We've got like an hour and whatever.
All right. Don't listen to the stuff that comes after this. It's really bad. You should actually probably cut it, Chester.
It already came.
All right, if it already came, then goodbye to this podcast. Goodbye to 2016. Bye.